So many people believe in Jesus. They've heard what God has to say about making his power available to us, and yet they never really experience that power. Why is that? Huh? Sometimes it's simply because they're just in the wrong place. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond. Thanks so much for joining me again. Today we're going to be chatting about getting yourself back in the right place to experience God's power. And do stay tuned, because in just a few minutes I'll be telling you about our free daily devotional Fresh to help you live each and every day in the victory that you already have in Jesus Christ. So often in life we're struggling through this or struggling through that, facing insurmountable odds. And so we wonder to ourselves, okay, where's God? I mean, why doesn't he show up? Where's God's power? Why can't he do something about this? He is, after all powerful, isn't he? Is God too busy? Doesn't he want to help me? Or maybe my problem's just too small for him to bother about. Or maybe my problem's too big for him. Maybe there's nothing he can do about it. All those thoughts run through our minds, and then we read this that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus. He said to them, I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he's called you, what are the riches of the glorious inheritance amongst the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. For God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 to 20. And what that tells us is that, in fact, we already have all the power we need. Wake up, Paul's saying. Look at the immeasurable greatness of God's power that you already have. Well, it's a great theory, but if it's true, I haven't seen any of that power. Isn't that what we so often conclude? This is a problem that Israel faced over and over and over again in the Old Testament. And today, we're going to kick off our look at the story of Gideon, because he was called by God to fight a battle of absolutely impossible odds. And it's a battle in which ultimately he had a great victory. But whilst victory is always great to celebrate in hindsight, a great victory invariably involves impossible odds. In fact, God specializes in impossible odds. And so there it was that the Israelites found themselves facing absolutely impossible odds. There they were, God's chosen people, being oppressed by another nation. That wasn't fair. This wasn't what God had promised them. Why was this happening? Why was it that God wasn't showing up in power to deliver them? Well, the answer was simple. The Israelites were just in the wrong place. Let's have a listen. The Israelites did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. This is coming from, by the way, Judges chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. The Israelites did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord gave them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. The hand of Midian prevailed over Israel. And because of Midian, the Israelites provided for themselves hiding places in the mountains, caves, and strongholds. For whenever the Israelites put in seed, the Midianites and the Amalekites and the people from the east would come up against them. They would encamp against them and destroy the produce of the land as far as the neighborhood of Gaza and leave no sustenance in Israel, no sheep, no donkey, no ox, for they and their livestock would come up, and they would even bring their tents as thick as locusts. Neither they nor their camels could even be counted. So they wasted the land as they came in. Thus, Israel was greatly impoverished because of Midian, and the Israelites cried out to the Lord for help. When the Israelites cried out to the Lord on account of the Midianites, the Lord sent a prophet to the Israelites who said this, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I led you up from Egypt and brought you out of the house of slavery, and I delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians and from the hand of all who oppressed you, and drove them out before you and gave you their land. And I said to you, I am the Lord your God. You shall not pay reverence to the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live. But you have not heeded my voice." What were the Israelites doing? Well, they were doing evil in the sight of the Lord. The covenant, the contract between God and his people back there in the Old Testament was really simple. God had laid down a law, the Torah, the first 5 books of the Old Testament. And the first and greatest command of the law was this. Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 to 5, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You will not make for yourself an idol. You will not bow down to worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. So when they cry out, God sends to them a prophet to tell them precisely what they're doing. They did precisely what you and I so often are prone to do. They had a foot kind of in both camps. On the one hand, they wanted their God to show up and bless them and help them when they needed help. But on the other, they're off worshipping other gods. And the one true living God comes to them and says, look, I've told you this before. You can't have your cake and eat it too. They were simply living out the consequences of their rebellion against God. And God lets that happen because he doesn't want them doing that. When we rebel against God, it always brings us pain. And that pain is a sign that something's wrong. That's what pain is for in our bodies. And that's what this pain was for too. Rebellion against God, which by the way has a name, it's called sin. It always, at the end of the day, involves pain. Because that pain is God's way of showing us that this rebellion just doesn't work. It's God's means of having us come to our senses and turn back to him, just like the story of the prodigal son that Jesus told all those years later. None of that should be any surprise to us at all, but will you notice something with me here? Will you notice that God's people, God's chosen people, the Israelites, were completely powerless? The Midianites and the Amalekites roamed free and plundered the Israelites mercilessly. They wasted the promised land. They trampled over it. They destroyed the crops. They brought hunger and poverty and misery to God's chosen people. And all the Israelites could do was run and hide in caves up in the mountains and in holes they dug for themselves. I mean, how pathetic is that? These were, after all, God's chosen people who'd been promised this land through Abraham, through Isaac, through Jacob. It was their inheritance. And friend, here's the thing. Even though today you and I aren't under the same law as them, the Old Testament law, because when we put our faith in Jesus, we come under grace rather than under this law, there's a principle here that every parent will understand. When our children rebel against us, we just can't bless them. When our children go their own way, as much as we love them, there comes a point when we have to let them suffer the consequences of their action. Every generation has to learn for itself the stove is hot. And you and I, we can be facing insurmountable, absolutely impossible odds, being plundered in life by our own version of the Midianites and the Amalekites, whatever those things may be, and we cry out to God, but he doesn't answer. Because we've set up other gods in our lives ahead of him. We're off chasing the god of wealth or of recognition or of worldly success or whatever it is. And we're surprised when our lives are ravaged and attacked and destroyed. It shouldn't be a surprise at all. It's just simple, natural, predictable, unavoidable cause and effect. Before we can expect the awesome power of God to be on our side, come on. We need to tear down the altars on which we sacrifice our lives to all those other gods. It's as simple as that. Before we go, I'd like to tell you about our free daily devotional that I'd love to send you to help you live in the victory and experience the joy that's available through Jesus Christ. It's called Fresh, a short daily devotional, a scripture verse with some words of inspiration, hope, and encouragement delivered right to the inbox on your smartphone, tablet, or computer each and every day. You can read it, listen to the audio, or watch the daily video. Completely up to you. It's God's Word, fresh for you each day. And it's completely free. To get instant access, stop by our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com. You'll see the Fresh E-Devotional sign-up right there at the top of the homepage. And when you do subscribe, you'll also instantly receive a free copy of the e-book, How Can I Hear God Speak to Me? That web address again, in case you missed it, is ChristianityWorks.com. So go ahead, sign up to receive Fresh, and may your heart be touched and transformed as you draw ever closer to Jesus through his word. I'm Bernie Diamond. I'll catch you again, same time tomorrow, with a different perspective.